Here's a reference so geeky that it might even elude some recent TV viewers.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today I'm talking to Glenn Reynolds, the Instapundit and the main man behind Pajamas Media TV. Glenn, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. The main man? Is that what I am?
You are the anchor, and I mean that in a good way, not in a Walter Cronkite kind of like holding us below water until we drown kind of way. Instapundit is one of the, if not the most successful aggregator site for a broad-based kind of center-right, conservative, libertarian world. What is the guiding principle behind the filter at Instapundit?
Instapundit's built around my own browsing habits, basically. I assume that most people who are reading my site are people who are already at their computer for some other reason, typically work. They're bored, they're procrastinating, and they're going to take a five-minute break. They go to Instapundit, they see what's new, maybe they follow a link or two, then they go back to whatever they were doing and repeat as needed throughout your day to keep your brain fresh.
What are your three primary interests?
That kind of varies. I mean, there's always a thread of sort of what's in the news at the moment. And I usually try to find something about it that's not just what everybody else is talking about, if I can. The second is my own personal hobby horses, which are things like nanotechnology, red light cameras, SWAT team misbehavior, stuff like that, which I put in whenever I want. And then the third is sort of trying to find new and different stuff that people haven't seen before, or new and different bloggers who, ought to have a bigger audience. And so it's just kind of mixed together.
How do you define yourself ideologically? I mean, you flirt with the phrase libertarian or conservative. How do you define yourself?
I'm not conservative at all, really, but, other than, for a while support for the war in Iraq was the litmus test for conservatism. And if that's your litmus test, sure, but it's a dumb litmus test. Some people describe me as a Heinleinian libertarian.
Okay.
Which is, somebody strongly influenced by Robert Heinlein. And I think one thing in which Heinlein did influence me is the sense that he never expected very much out of the political process, and sort of one of his recurring themes of his brand of libertarianism was don't expect too much from the political process. The best thing you can really hope for is to keep it from being too crooked and getting too much into your business, but the world is full of Mrs. Grundys who live to interfere in your business, and you can never completely abolish them. You just have to keep fighting them off.
How does that feed into your interest in things, a kind of technological utopianism that is a strain in your thought, a nanotechnology, longevity? That's very Heinleinian in that you keep the government or you keep the powers that be at bay, but then you create your own world where you can do what you want?
It empowers people. I mean, if you look at politics, it's actually very stagnant, okay? What's cool in politics right now is 1968, right? I mean, we are the politics of 1968 are the politics of 2009 right now. In so many ways, no government institution has actually gotten better since 1968 in any very measurable way. Compare it to technology, and, when you look back from the standpoint of 100 or 1,000 years from now, that's what people will think was the defining characteristic of our age, and it is. The other thing is most of these technologies have the effect of making an individual more powerful in relation to the state. Or a small group. And here we are in the Reason TV studios right here producing a TV show that not that long ago would have been very expensive to produce and distribute around the country and the world, and now isn't. I mean, that's just one example.
Are we in a moment where kind of freedom and liberty and the ability to innovate technologically and even in a kind of lifestyle way, is that coming to an end or is that being threatened or is it always blue skies?
I think it's being threatened, but I think it's always being threatened. For Obama, I mean, my expectations, I once wrote, my small government expectations for George Bush were quite modest, and yet we're nonetheless disappointed. I didn't have any small government expectations for Obama particularly, though I thought he would be better on some of the sort of social issues where I'm liberal, and on those he seems to actually be kind of socially conservative on abortion and gay marriage and, that sort of thing. And I suppose in a way that's not a surprise, but I was a little, so he's delivering nothing for me, really. I mean, he's a big spender, intrusive government kind of guy who's also, not supportive of gay marriage or things that I do support. So
how worried are you about his health care reform plans?
If they succeed, I think that we will see the curve of medical innovation, which is pretty steep right now, really flatten out.
Why?
You'll still have research, I think. The government still funds research, and you'll still have people discover things. But the process of turning those lab discoveries into a pill that you can buy is right now done by pharma companies who are supposed to be evil. If the only person or entity they can sell that pill to is the government, and if the government's main goal is to spend as little money as possible, there's not much incentive to progress. So I think we're going to see a lot less medical innovation, and paradoxically, right at the time when we should be seeing a whole lot more.
We're partway through the singularity, right? And so what a terrible time to turn off the lights.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Talk about PJTV. I mean, you, Instapundit and Pajamas Media are allies now, or business partners. You have a regular show on PJTV. What's the benefit of PJTV over Pajamas Media 1.0?
I have to say, PJTV, in some ways, is me living one of my geek fantasies, because I remember very much in the late 90s sort of playing with a video camera and hooking up to the computer and doing stuff on the internet and saying, you know, we should be able to pull all this stuff together and you could have a TV network on the cheap. And you couldn't really quite do it then. You sort of could, but if you remember the old Real Player with the smudgy little images and all, it didn't work very well. But it is... I've got an HD studio actually in my basement with a green screen that you can put virtual studios in, and I can interview people from all over the world via Skype or iChat or whatever and bring them in, and it all just, it's just cool, and it's all dirt cheap compared to a regular TV network.
You have been accused, and I think with some justice, of having a mad crush on Sarah Palin. Yes, at least in office chatter here, but...
Wow.
And in the pages of the LA Times recently, you had a lot of good things to say about Sarah Palin. Does she represent the future of the Republican Party, or should we care about the future of the Republican Party?
I don't know. What I said in the LA Times was actually I found Sarah Palin a lot less interesting than the Sarah Palin phenomenon and the just hatred she inspires in a lot of people. My sense on whether she's the future of the Republican Party is, I don't know. Well, here is a reference so geeky that it might even elude some recent TV viewers, but I used to play a war game when I was a kid called Luftwaffe, which was air combat in World War II. And when the Germans got in trouble, which they always did, one of the ways they could get more planes was to call the cadets out of the training fields and put them in the air. And once you did that, they were never as good. They stayed a 2 instead of a 3 or whatever it was for the rest of the game. Well, that's kind of what the Republicans did to Sarah Palin. The truth is she wasn't ready for national politics. She has tremendous raw political talent. I mean, the speech she gave at the RNC, some of her other stuff really shows that. But she just wasn't ready. When you're a state or a local political figure, the media doesn't create its own straw man version of you and then attack it, because they all know you and everybody, their readers know you, and they just can't get away with that. At the national level, they do that, and they did that with her, and they were able to do it, and she wasn't able to respond. Now, some of that was the ineptitude of the McCain campaign in general, but she just wasn't ready, and I think that the Republicans did themselves a disservice by calling her up when they did. Will she do better later? I don't know.
Does if you're a libertarian, does your future depend on the renewed health or vigor of the Republican Party, or is it something beyond that?
If you're a libertarian, neither party is all that great, but the Republicans are clearly less bad. And I think that there was a time, as recently as a year ago, when a lot of libertarians were telling themselves that wasn't true, that you couldn't be any worse than the Republicans. And I think that we've seen that yes, you can. What the Republicans are going to do, I don't know about that. I think if you look at what seems to work for the Republicans, taking a more libertarian line really seems to work for them.
So they obviously won't do that.
Right. It really, that does seem to be the way they should be moving. And the interesting thing is that a lot of the social conservatives are actually okay on that. The percentage of social conservatives who want their beliefs enacted into law to force other people to live like them is it's there, but it's by no means the overwhelming majority. So, you don't have to pander in 1970s Jerry Falwell style anymore, and I think that the Republicans need to figure that out.
I want to thank Glenn Reynolds of Instapundit and of PJTV for talking to Reason TV today. I'm Nick Gillespie.